Rambam begin by noting and trying to pick up on a theme that the Rav developed in his lifetime, his Yortzeit, the 31st Yortzeit is coming up on, you know, Chol HaMoed Pesach, so appropriate to mention the Rav, and to set a little bit of a bar for myself. The Rav liked talking a lot, maybe somewhat counterintuitively, about the experience of Yahadus. And counterintuitively, I say, because, of course, you know, the tradition that the Rav was reared, this wasn't something that, you know, his father or, his grandfather, Rav Moshe, Rav Chaim, really spent a lot of time articulating, at least, you know, as far as we know. But the experience of Yahadus, which he, in fact, attributed to his mother, which is a very interesting insight, the lived experience is something that, he tried to articulate. And interestingly, he felt that he didn't always do such a good job trying to, you know, bring certain experiences to life. Maybe there really is something ineffable about it that you can't really, you know, verbalize it. But one of the areas where the Rav thought it was, you know, particularly important was this time of year, Leil HaSeder, which he said, you know, right along with, you know, the experience of Yom Kippur is, sui generis and really requires, not just understanding intellectually, but, you know, really a certain kind of a kiyum shebalev, a feeling. And that's really the bar that I want to set for myself in the context of this year. If people would only leave with certain information, I would really feel that I failed you. I'll say that right now. My goal is to transmit a certain sense of the experience of Shabbos HaGadol, the Haftorah in particular of Shabbos HaGadol, which I think should, you know, tug at the heartstrings of every Jew for multiple reasons. Let me begin there by saying, you know, if this is, you know, primarily informational, I think the information that will be transmitted will I hope support the overall message, but it should really be an experience, of something which, again, I think is at the nerve center of Klal Yisrael and even individual members of Klal Yisrael. So with that, let me just begin by noting, you know, when we go through the Psukim in the Haftorah, we're going to try to develop, you know, certain points, but the Haftorah begins with, you know, the, people see my screen, is this working? No?
It is?
Okay. So. Second. I'm getting like this interesting double screen. I don't know. This is like the shitos that you have to have two kizesim, you know, for the, afikomen. One for matzah, one is Eichel Pesach. Okay, so the pasuk says, Ve'arvala Adonai minchas Yehudah v'Yushalayim kimei olam uchshanim kadmonios. Speaking of nostalgia or experience, so the Haftorah begins with a pasuk about, you know, nostalgia. Kimei olam uchshanim kadmonios. That this is a time when we yearn, right? Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi, the Nevi'im of the Tkufa of Bayesheni, at yearning for a glorious past. Minchas Yudavi Yushalayim, specifically relating to the Avoda, you know, and the Korbanos. The Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah and Perek Ches begins in a remarkable way, in my opinion. Seder Asiyas Mitzvos Eilu, you have the second source. Bilel Chamisha Sarkachu B'tchila Mozgin Kos L'Kol Echad V'Echad, you prepare the first coast, Mivorech Bori Pragafin Vomer Lav Kiddush Hayom Uzman Vishosa Neshachianu Veacharkach Mivorech Al Nitil As Yadayim Venotol Yada Vomivian Shulchan Aruch, and then you bring the Shulchan. This was in those days when each person had their own, you know, Shulchan. Ve'alav Maror V'Yerek Acher Umatzah V'Charosos V'Gufo Shal Pesach Shal Keves HaPesach U'Basar Chagiga Shal Yom Mar Basar the Carbon Pesach and the Uzman Azeh. The Rambam says, you know, as if it's the anomaly, even though in the Rambam was writing in the 12th century, it had been, you know, over a millennia since, Klal Yisrael had brought the Korban Pesach. Uvizman hazeh mevi'in al ha'shulchan shnei minei basar, echad zecher lepesach, echad zecher lechagiga. For us, usually a beitza and a shank bone. But the Rambam's initial projection, and he's faithful to this really throughout, you know, the entire perek, is, you know, the idea that, you know, the real experience is when we'll have the Korban Pesach. As we say, v'nochal sham min hazvachem, min hapsachem, min hapsachem, min hazvachem. There is a tshuka, there is a yearning that we have, which is the first element of the Haftorah of Shabbos HaGadol, of kimei olam uchshanim kadmonios, to go back to that time. And, you know, I would say that the part of the Seder that actually really captures this the most is Nirtza. Nirtza is about Kadshim, v'nirtza lo l'chaper alav. And the theme of Nirtza, of course, is the Geula ha'asida lavo, is the future Geula. Karev yom, asher hu lo yom v'lo layla, you know, yibane, bimheira, bekarov, all of the themes of the Beis HaMikdash, that's where we begin, the Haftorah of Shabbos HaGadol. This is a time of yearning, of benisan nigalu, benisan asidin ligael, the immediate theme, you know, that Malachi, you know, is appealing to, that we're meant to have viscerally at the beginning of the Haftorah, is a yearning for the full redemption. Now, a couple of psukim later, Malachi touches on something which I think, you know, resonates particularly deeply with us this year. Ki ani Adonai lo shanisi v'atem b'nei Yaakov lo uchlisem. That the Kadosh Baruch Hu is unchanging, and in this respect, unchanging, meaning has not in any way disavowed us. He has not broken, you know, his bond with Klal Yisrael. And you, the Jewish people, you know, have never been consumed. That term, lo chlisem, of course, is an echo of the pasuk in the first Tochacha, the Tochacha Vayikra. You know, va'af gamzos v'yosam be'eretz oyveihem, lo ma'astim v'lo ge'altim l'chalosam. The Kadosh Baruch Hu will never allow Klal Yisrael to be destroyed. Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem v'zacharti es brisi Yaakov v'af es brisi Yitzchak v'af es brisi Avraham eskor v'ho'oretz eskor. And that is the basis. This is the scriptural basis, of course, for the v'hisha amda l'avoseinu v'lanu. We actually use these words, right? Shelo echad bovad amad aleinu l'chaloseinu atem b'nei Yaakov lo chlisem. The Haftorah speaks to the Jewish historical experience. And the Jewish historical experience has been one, it's new for us. You know, again, it was rising from a Tree of Life, and, you know, then we had various other incidents, and, you know, Poway and San Diego, and then, you know, in Newark, and, you know, there was a lot that was percolating underneath the surface. But the post-October 7th explosion, not just the pogrom, but the fact that the Jews are to blame for the pogrom. And, you know, here on the local scene, right, you know, as we hear so often, you know, well, there would be no ongoing campaign of harassment against the Jews of Teaneck if it wasn't for the fact that, you know, we had the temerity to support a resolution, you know, condemning terrors. If, you know, this is, you know, just an intolerable offense. It's very telling that people take such exception to, you know, anything that would rebuke October 7th. You know, it's somewhat, you know, chilling, actually, that people should be so, you know, offended by that. You know, and recent references, you know, that international politics, as if it was like, you know, the Teaneck Town Council taking up, you know, the process of ascension of Sweden and Finland to NATO, you know, and not something that touches directly upon the lives of tens of thousands of people here. And again, I'm not suggesting that council meetings are necessarily the best places for, you know, deep discussions, but it's certainly not because it's international politics. It's probably because you can't really have a meaningful discussion. And the fact that people aren't embarrassed to say that, and a Jewish person would never, hopefully, never get up and say, you know, I don't understand why we need to talk about George Floyd in Teaneck and the horrific murder of George Floyd. It's just some random act of violence that occurred in Minneapolis. You know, well, what does that have to do with Teaneck exactly? That would be, you know, unfathomable. But the, you know, ongoing, campaign that we experience here is, you know, is part of this, you know, tradition. And, you know, our response is v'hisham d'alavoseinu v'lanu shelo echad bilvad amar aleinu l'chaloseinu. We're joyous people, we're an optimistic people, and that has a lot to do with our faith in Ani Hashem lo shanisi, that his bond is as good and as unbreakable as it always, you know, was. I think there are other reasons to be very optimistic. But you know, that's the primary one. V'hisha amda labosenu vilanu ani Hashem lo shanisi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is never going to abandon us, and we just have to have the fortitude, as we do. You know, this is an unbreakable people. I see it with my own eyes, to be able to really stand up in this environment. And eventually, as this is the next bolded pasuk here, v'ishru eschem kol hagoyim ki tiu atem eretz chefetz amar Hashem tzivakos. That all of the Gayim, especially all of the Gayim that ridicule us, you know, the Rav himself used to like to say, you know, as Yomru Vagayim, Higdil Hashem Asosim Eile, that they'll ask it as a question, you know, but the Navi Malachi says, V'ishu Eschem Kol Hagayim, they'll be forced to acknowledge, you know, that Klal Yisrael, who they said was Muznach, they said, you know, was Mufkar, was you know, neglected and made hefker, is really chayfetz, is desired, remains, you know, the chosen ones of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Baal Karacham. They're going to have to acknowledge this fact. This is part of the vision of Malachi. This is part of Shabbos HaGadol. This is part of the renewal of the covenant of Ahava that, you know, was first expressed b'chatzos halayla b'leil tesvav b'nisan b'eretz Mitzrayim. Lo al yidei malach velo al yidei saraf, ela al yidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu bechvodo v'atzmo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, you know, for his children the way that a parent, you know, comes for his children. That's a theme that we'll come back to at the end. V'heshev lev avos al banim v'lev banim al avosam, you know, hatishkach yishaula meirachem ben bitna. He couldn't, you know, leave us there. The Rav, you know, interestingly, you know, mentions this as one of the knocks in Kol Dodi Dafik. It just comes to mind now. Wasn't necessarily planning on including this, but, you know, it's Bechol Dor Vador, Omdim Aleinu L'chal Oseinu. So he wrote that in, you know, immediate aftermath of the Shoah in 1956. And, you know, talked about the idea that the foundation of Medinat Yisrael was something that compelled the Gayim, you know, especially the church, which for thousands of years, remember this is prior to Vatican II, you know, and had been promulgating the doctrine of the witness that the Jewish people are abandoned and the church is Veritas Israel, is the real Israel, and the Jews, you know, because we've scorned the Messiah, you know, have themselves been scorned, etc. And he says, you know, the founding of the state of Israel, and he writes about it very emotionally, what it meant to him. You know, you see in the Christian press, he would say that they have to acknowledge the state of Israel, the idea that we haven't been abandoned. Ani Hashem lo shanisi, atem b'nei Yaakov lo chalisem. You know, that's something that we, you know, in my lifetime never experienced, take it for granted. But there will be a time when, you know, those who are so vitriolic today, so, you know, insensitive to Jewish suffering, you know, to the extent that they acknowledge it, it's only because, you know, we bring it on ourselves, of course. You know, but that they'll have to, you know, acknowledge, you know, that is so, you know, it's something that we can, you know, yearn for right now, but no, is a matter of promise. The pasuk goes on to say, if you just keep on going with me in the Haftorah, V'hayu li amar Hashem tzvakos, l'yom asher ani oseh segula, v'chamalti aleihem kasher yachvol ish al b'no ha'oved oso. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says, and then I'll have chemla on my children, as a parent has chemla on his child who serves him. The theme of chemla is really the deepest meaning of the term of Pesach. The pasuk tells us the first time the word appears in the Chumash, v'hadet yahadam lachem la'os al habatim asher atem sham v'ro'isi es adam ufasachti aleichem v'lo yehavochem negev l'mashchis ba'akosi be'eretz Mitzrayim. V'haya adam lachem la'os, the blood will be for you a sign on the homes, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu will see our blood. Ufasachti aleichem. The Targum Unkla says that that's milashon lachos, that God will have compassion on us. Rashi brings two deos v'chamalti, like Unklus, and then says the way that it's usually translated and became the etymology of the English term, you know, Passover, medaleg haya mibate yisrael, bate mitzrim, but if I could use an analogy, that would just be the mice. The kiyum, of course, was kiyum shebalev, kaviyachol, etzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was that he had a schemla, and therefore, ufasachti aleichem, you shouldn't focus on the externals, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was moved. At that point, it wasn't because we deserved it, we were, you know, ovdei avodah zarah, essentially, like them, but kasher yachmul ish al beno, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just, you know, he couldn't do any differently. The chemla, the feelings that were stirred inside, haveni hakir li Ephraim, al kein hamu me'ai lo, rachem arachamenu ne'um Hashem, that was what that night was about. And it's specifically, you know, this is a reference to, as the Pesukim in Yechezkel, you know, tell us, and as we'll read at the Haggadah, ve'avor alayich ve'reich misposeses b'damayich, it's an image of almost unrivaled graphic nature, that you see this young, the way that Yechezkel describes it, individual, and literally in blood, misbosesas b'damayich. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even though dam is so often a symbol of death, right, this time it'll be b'damayich chayi. The famous Medrash tells us that this repetition, b'damayich chayi, is a reference to the Mesirus Nefesh of Klal Yisrael, that even though it was very dangerous, Bris Milah is always, you know, dangerous, and Korban Pesach in Egypt was particularly dangerous, Heinez Bachas Toavas Mitzrayim Leinehem Velo Yiskelunu, we did it, b'Mesirus Nefesh, and he saw the blood, and he couldn't but, you know, help of having chemla on us, and saying that it wasn't going to be the blood of death, but v'hayah adam lachem la'os, that he would have chemla on us and he would give us life. The maybe my favorite version of this medrash, which appears in so many different ways, is achosi. And the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, which of course we'll read, Shabbos Chol HaMoed, shenis achu li b'mitzrayim b'shnei mitzvos, that the Jewish people literally became bound to me through these mitzvos, b'dam Pesach v'dam Milah, the two mitzvos I say that have kares, and they have kares because to neglect them is to neglect this history. The Klal Yisrael literally tied themselves. In halacha, krashenu misacha means when you have, in terms of, you know, in the wake of Misa, people rise kriya, they tear kriya, and so you can't bind it up, you can't stitch it up properly, krashenu misacha. The Klal Yisrael became inextricably linked to Kadosh Baruch Hu through the Mesiras Nefesh of Dam Milah and Dam Pesach in this moment, and he saw our blood, he saw our willingness to sacrifice for him, and he couldn't hold himself back. Kaviyachol, there was the Chemla, Ufasachti Aleichem, which then led to the Dilug. That's why he skipped over our homes and he spared us, B'damayeh Chayi, B'damayeh Chayi. And the same thing, of course, is true, you know, in our door. The Mesiras Nefesh of October 7th and all that's happened since then, the blood of Klal Yisrael, the blood that's so cheap to the world, but so precious, you know, Tzakadosh Baruch Hu, Yakar Be'enei Hashem, Hamav Salah Chasidav, the blood which is so precious to him, is really B'damayich Chayi, B'damayich, you know, Chayi. It was you know, really one of the moments, we all have, you know, our particular moments, but because he's become a very dear friend to me, when Rav Daron Peretz was maspid, you know, his son, Daniel, who was, you know, died al Kiddush Hashem, we now know, on October 7th, and because, you know, Hamas are barbarians, you know, and don't have any sense of kavod hames, you know, and they're holding on to the bodies of Daniel and others. So all he had to bury was literally the blood of his son. And he said, "B'damayich chayi, b'damayich chayi." It's a moment of, you know, transcendent gevura. It's a human experience that, you know, the critics of Am Yisrael, they don't even have a hasaga of what kind of gevura this man, you know, brings to that moment. And I think that's really echoing what, you know, our celestial father thinks. B'damayich chayi, that the dam that Klal Yisrael, you know, is shedding here, you know, daily, you know, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for Am Yisrael and for Eretz Yisrael, is a source of, you know, the unbreakable bond. Rav Yaakov Medan, one of the Rashi Yeshiva in Har Etzion, whose son also left both of his legs in the battlefield in Gaza, said shortly thereafter, and again, it's just, you know, it's staggering. We're talking about fathers, not just, you know, rabbis, but fathers, you know, who, you know, in different ways have had life-altering experiences with, that which is, you know, Yakar Lahem Mikol, said that he thinks that the Mesiras Nefesh of Klal Yisrael in our door, in our moment, rivals that of the Crusades. And I don't disagree. The incredible sacrifice that Jews in Eretz Yisrael are making, and in a different way, but still making in Chutz La'aretz, you know, is something which really speaks in the best possible sense to B'damayi Chayi, our willingness to give our blood, our willingness to be attacked, not to run, you know, but to stand up, you know, for Kavod Yisrael, for Kavod Shamayim, is something which really is, you know, so important. The term which is used by the Navi, Eliyahu, when Klal Yisrael, were less committed, is exactly the same term. Ad Masai Atem Poschim Al Shtei Asiipim. That term Pesach should always be associated with, you know, inviolate, unbreakable loyalty. So when the Jewish people were, you know, Ovdim La Baal, and then, you know, Ovdim La Hashem, you know, the critique is a biting one. That, you know, how can you, you know, be disloyal? This is not, you know, ice cream. One day you have chocolate, the next day you have vanilla, and there's no problem going back and forth. This is a bond that's, you know, it born in this kind of sacrifice. The theme of, you know, B'damayi Chayi, I just noted this, but I wanted to get, you know, one issue in terms of, you know, the Parsha, is the entire story of the Taras HaMetzora is really this story. The Metzora is Nachshav Kimeis. It's a near-death experience. He actually has to begin the process of Avelos. That's why Begadav Yufrumim Uverosho Yefarua Ve'al Safam Yateh. All of those are taken by the Gemara in Moed Katan, in Elu Megalchen, in the third Perek. All of those are taken to be the basis of Halachos and Hochos Avelos. He's mourning for himself, for what he did to himself. Ma'isonen adam chai gever al chata'av. Whether it was his lashon hara, whether it was gasas haruach, whether it was tzaras ha'ayin, whether it was shvichas zamim, shiva nigoim avonos ba'im. And the taras hamitzora is this exact idea of damai chayi. What you take is shtei tziporim chayos toros. It's just like the idea of the sir la'shem and sir la'zazel, two exact birds, just like the two exact goats, and one of them is slaughtered, and the other one goes free to, like, this, you know, to quote Lincoln, you know, in a different context, the new birth of freedom. But v'taval osa v'dam ha-tzipor ha-shchuta. You dip it into the blood of the tzipor ha-shchuta before you're, you know, mishaleach es ha-tzipor ha-chayal p'nei ha-sadeh, to demonstrate that the b'damai chayi, that the mitzora, if he wants to, you know, can really have a new birth of life, right? It could have gone either way. Two identical birds. There's, you know, parallel split-screen realities happening, either death or life, and it's your choice. The Meshech Chachma is such a beautiful diuk. He says that throughout the Parsha, he's not referred to as the Nitar, as the one who's purified passively, but the Mitaher. He has to invest in his own process of tshuva, his own process of tahara, v'chibes hamitaheres begadav. In my opinion, that's why mayim chayim is required. Mayim chayim means mei ma'ayan as opposed to mei mikvah. There are only three areas in halacha where you actually require mayim chayim as opposed to a mikvah. One of them is the para aduma, which is a response to Tomas Meis. The other is right here in Mitzorah. The other is later in the Sedra, actually the next topic, which is the topic of zav. The Ramban thinks misvara, it should apply to zav as well, but he says zav is also a very similar idea. It's a choli, which is karov lamisa. So the point is that taking the dynamic spring waters, the mayim chayim, you know, is literally like, you know, the sam hachayim, the elixir of new life. It's a way of coming out of this near death like state, mitzora nechshav kemes, or the paraduma, the exposure to death itself, and, you know, reemerging into, you know, life and meaningful life. So again, the Jewish people, b'damayich chayi, you know, va'omar lach, b'damayich chayi, I think is a very, you know, a very, very powerful idea. I also happen to think, and this is, you know, part of the imagery that we have of the charoses, quoted by Tosfos in Psachim, Koftes Vav, you know, that Medrash which says that Vayamos Melech Mitzrayim Vayanchu Bnei Yisrael Min Avodah Vayizaku, either, as the Rabban says, according to the Pshat, what it means is that, you know, Paro died, and therefore the Jewish people, you know, were hoping that there would be, you know, the Ancien regime would go away, and the new regime would be, you know, more friendly to the Jews. And that's what caused this, you know, great outcry. The Medrash that Rashi quotes says, you know, Paro didn't die, but he became a Mitzora, and that he was Rochets in the Dam of Tinokos. And I always thought that this image captured the sense that Paro recognized somehow, even in their death, even as he slaughtered them, that there was this Mayim Chayim to them, that this was the elixir of life, that there was something about their blood that really was, you know, unbreakable. There was something about that blood that, you know, would heal him, would replace that which was missing from him. Rishayim b'chayehem nikrayim mesim, we say that Rishayim, even in their lifetimes, are really, they're dead because spiritually there's no vitality. Tzadikin b'misasan nikru uchayim. That's what Chazal tell us. The blood of these children, even Paro recognized, had a certain vitality to it, that they were part of something much bigger, that it was the true life that he could never have, that he would never have access to. The Bali Atosos note, that's the minag of first, you know, making the charoses, you know, thick, and then pouring in the yayin zecher ladam, you know, to make it, you know, a different composition, a less viscous, a more liquid composition, specifically, you know, for these purposes of capturing the dam within the tit, you know, of Shibud Mitzrayim. I think that was the Mayim Chayim, in any event, that, you know, Paro HaRasha was looking for. Just get back to the Haftorah for a moment. So you go on in the Haftorah. After the theme of Chemla, we encounter the incredibly stirring pasuk, which in some ways is the conclusion of all of the Divrei Nevi'im. Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi Asher Tzivisio So V'chorev Al Kol Yisrael Chukim U'mishpatim. That Malachi, as the final Navi in his message to Klal Yisrael, is to remain faithful no matter at what cost to Torah and mitzvos, no matter, you know, how difficult it is, no matter how, you know, much scrutiny it brings upon us. V'dasehem Shonos Mikolam Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. And this too, you know, captures the essential theme of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim Lios Lachem Lelokim. You know, our notion of Cheros is Cheros that is not you know, about a libertine experience, you know, about having the rights to do everything that we, you know, would like to do, would like to do in quotation marks. But cheirus ein lecha ben chorin elamisha osek batorah. That's why, in my opinion, heseba, which is the unique expression of cheirus at Leil HaSeder, heseba is only absolutely required by the Rambam when we're performing the mitzvos halayla beachilas matzah, and, you know, dalet kosos. And he says shar kol achila, you know, if you're do heseba, you know, hareza meshubach. It's even better. But when do you absolutely have to do heseba? When must you manifest cheros? When you're doing a mitzvah. Because the whole point of cheros, you know, is for the sake of mitzvos, is for the sake of zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. So, you know, in the Indian, I received a remarkable letter from a member of the Teaneck Public Schools community, you know, that they were announcing different vacation days. And, you know, appropriately, a few weeks ago, when they let the community know about Eid, the festival, the Muslim festival that concludes Ramadan. So, of course, they noted Muslims around the world celebrate. When they sent out their notice about Passover, there was no reference to this being a Jewish holiday. The most they could say was those who celebrate Passover. So, I wrote to the superintendent, who's a frequent correspondent of mine. If we could use such a term, and the chairman of the Board of Education, noting that Passover is in fact a Jewish holiday that comes from the Torah, we trust that it's only an oversight, and that they're surely speedily remind the public school community that this wonderful festival of freedom, which has inspired so many cultures around the world, especially the civil rights movement here in the United States of America, "Go down, Moses, let my people go," inspired the world towards the notions of human dignity, actually comes from the Jewish people and actually comes from the Torah. And I concluded, of course, by offering gamely said, and if you're interested in helping to spread the good word that it's actually a Jewish holiday, I'll be happy to go to any and all district schools to discuss, quote, as I wrote to them, the Jewish notion of freedom. And this is what I was alluding to, that freedom for us means Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, that the whole idea of going free wasn't for the sake of being having more time off, though vacation can sometimes be very nice and recharging, but ki avadai heim asher hotseisi osam me'eretz Mitzrayim, halu ka halu avdei Hashem v'lo avdei paro. As the Ramban says, as part of his concept of emuna b'Hashem, anochi Hashem elokecha asher hotseisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim mibeis avadim. The Ramban says, well, what do you mean mibeis avadim? Obviously, Eretz Mitzrayim was a beis avadim. He said, the Ramban says, no, that means, and he argues on this point, on the Rambam and on the Sefer HaChinuch, the Ramban says, an intrinsic part of the mitzvah min haTorah of emunah b'Hashem is a willingness to perform mitzvos. You can't say, from the Ramban standpoint, that I'm a believer, but I don't practice. Now, for the Rambam, I think you actually can say that. And I value people who are believing Jews and not practicing Jews, and I value them very, very, very deeply. But from the Ramban's point, to be a believing Jew is to be a practicing Jew, because mibeis avadim, says mibeis avadim, means that there's a kinyan hagof, ki avadai heim, so we have to, and that's zichru toras Moshe avdi, and that's what the Gemara means when it says, what's the narrative arc of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Maskel begnus misayim b'shvach. So the Gemara says that we have what on its face appears to be a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, either maschil begnus and misayim b'shvach, that we start with the degradation and then we go to the great elevation, is either avdus l'cheirus, is the national liberation, or it's mitzchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu v'achshav kirvanu amakom l'avodah. So it's a spiritual journey. The Rosh and the Rif and the Rambam, Rabbeinu Chananel, the vast majority of Rishonim assume that we don't choose, as is reflected in our Haggadah, and we actually do both, mitzchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu, as well as avadim hayinu. And the way that I like to say it is because you can't possibly choose. The whole point of going from avdus l'cheirus was for the sake of mitzchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu, and now achshav kirvanu amakom l'avodah. So for us to be avdei Hashem, we had to get out of being, avdei paro. It's just, there was no way that we could serve those two masters, at the same time. Whether you could serve any other two masters is also a good question. But you certainly couldn't be, an eved paro and an eved, Hashem. Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi Asher Tzivisi Oso Bechorev Al Kol Yisrael Chukim Umishbat. And then, of course, the final, and again, to me, maybe, of all of the moving aspects of the Haftorah is the stirring conclusion. Hinei anochi sholeach lachem is Eliyahu hanavi lifnei bo yom Hashem hagadol v'hanora v'heshev levavos al banim v'lev banim al avosam penavo v'kesi es haaretz cherem. We have the vision, again, b'nisa nigalu, b'nisa nasid l'goel, of Eliyahu hanavi coming to be mivaser, to tell the Jewish people that we've earned the final geula. And at that point, there will be this kind of a rapprochement, a certain melding of the hearts of parents and children. The essential theme, Vigad to Levincha Bayomahu Leimor, Sipor Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's the ultimate family experience. Ki Yishalcha Bencha, Vigad to Levincha, the Seder, which is so wrapped for all of us in our earliest familial memories, if we were Zocha, only to parents, to grandparents. This is that moment of Lev Avos Albanim, Lev Banim Alavosam, when there's this intergenerational connectedness. And the reason I think it matters so much, particularly, you know, within this framework, is really the following. The merit that Klal Yisrael has when that day will come, and it should come soon, Tzipisa LeYeshua, we look forward to it every day, and everything that comes along with it, and I think now even more, you can't help but yearn for it that much more. So we started Kimei Olam Shanim Kadmonios V'Nochal Sham Min Apsachem Min Azvachem Az Yomru V'Agayim. There will be a recognition of the righteousness of Klal Yisrael. But in any event, when that moment comes, it'll be a validation. V'heshev lev avos albanim v'lev banim alavosam. What I mean by that is all of the generations of parents and children who could have run for the hills, who at any point since Shibud Mitzrayim and going from there to Galus Bavel and from there to Paras and from there to Yavan and from there to the Romans and from there to the Crusaders and from there to the Inquisitors and from there to the Cossacks and from there to the Nazis and the Communists and to Hamas and their, you know, sympathizers and apologists. The at any point, you know, people, you know, avo subanim could have broken and run and said it's just not worth it. We can't withstand, you know, this degree of suffering, and you know, try to, you know, shake off, you know, the old mitzvos, to try to, you know, abandon the bris of Bidamaya Chayi, and they never did. And that meant that, you know, again, for most of Jewish history, this is something that we're rediscovering, not a pleasant experience, but, you know, I think an essential one. The historical experience to raise your child, you know, as a Jew, was an active choice to expose your child to lethal danger. Okay, you know, that's what it meant. That was the ambient level of anti-Semitism. The most basic instinct a parent has as a child, as we talked, you know, kasher yachmol ish al beno ha'obedo so, is to put one's child in the most advantageous position possible for life. That's all we want. We want our children to be safe. We want them to be healthy. We want them to be protected. To raise your child as a Jew meant that your child would have to deal with, you know, extremely dangerous, sometimes, you know, lethal, you know, levels of hostility. I'm not even talking about the Dinei Mamonos. That will just be a foregone, you know, conclusion. And yet, you know, the Avos Subanim, they constantly made that choice, you know, to propagate, you know, the Masorah. Actually, remember, I guess, L'chvod, you know, Miriam over here, is a couple years back, you know, we had an incredible lecture, you know, from Dr. Berger, who was talking about some of the most painful aspects of the Crusades, the tradition of the Balei HaTosfos, where parents, again, we don't judge anything, you know, about something that the Balei HaTosfos dealt with, you know, parents who, out of love and commitment to their children, and God forbid that their children shouldn't be subject to shmad, the worst moments of the Crusades, would sometimes, before taking their own lives, take their children's lives. And I remember him discussing this issue and you know, explaining, you know, in the most heartfelt way, all of the shikulim that these parents had of what it meant, you know, to have their children taken and taken away from the Masorah, and knowing that after they were killed, that their children, you know, be baptized, and, you know, especially the youngest of them, you know, would have no memories of Yahadus, and what would be, and saying, you know, in that way, logically, it seems obvious that you would never want to, you know, allow your that to happen to your children. Then he said, then alien is an inimitable line. Then he said, you know, so if you're wondering, you know, why, you know, it was such a complicated, you know, decision to make, and he paused and he said, because it's never an easy decision to take the lives of your own children. Okay, you could have every logical reason in the world to do it, but it's not. So that's the love of a parent for a child, even if, you know, the only real choice you have is, you know, to be killed, and then just to hope that somehow your parents don't get taken over, your children get to take over to Shmad. But this is the Avo Subanim, you know, that Klal Yisrael experienced. It will be the moment of greatest validation, that when that day comes and the entire Yishu Eschem Kol Hagayim, that all of those, you know, that rose up to destroy us, Bechol Dor Vador, you know, will see the Yom Hashem Hagadol VeHanora, will be a great validation of all of those generations, Leminehem, and you know, for me, you know, I have this incredibly visceral memory. I know I've spoken about in the past of, you know, childhood siddurim with my grandfather, Zichrono Livracha. And, you know, it was one of those things. Nobody had to explain it to us. You know, especially my older brother and myself, we have two relatively significantly younger siblings. But my older brother, and, you know, we would stand at attention for Shvo Chamascha, and my grandfather would lead us with, you know, the Shvo Chamascha. You know, Ki achalas Yaakov es naveu heishamu. I can, you know, still hear his voice. Shvo chalehem zamecha v'chor nabcha yasigeim tirdof af v'tashmideim misacha shmei Hashem. And, you know, the feeling, the intensity of his yearning for his murdered parents, his murdered mother in the forest of Rumbula, and his murdered father in Auschwitz, and what had been taken. And, you know, that he wasn't a vindictive person. He was a very gentle, loving man, not an angry person. But in that moment, the raw emotion of Lev Avo Salbanim, V'Lev Banim Al Avo Sam, of, you know, the yearning for his parents, you know, who he, you know, missed his entire life, and never forgot, you know, and was something that, you know, you couldn't, you can't even, you know, capture in words. And you know, the experience, I think, over, you know, it was going on beforehand in different ways, is the truth. But, you know, since October 7th, and seeing, you know, for myself, or feeling for myself the first time, the sense that it's just not that important to so many people, you know, Jewish blood, Jewish hostages. And, you know, being able to, you know, Shvo Chamascha will be a very different experience this year, even for those of us who grew up with, you know, a vicarious experience. You know, the experience is a different one. But, like I said, V'heshev le'vavos albanim le'banim alavosam, those who remain so faithful, who committed themselves to V'igad to Levincha, Bayom Ahulimor, that every year they would come to Leil HaSeder and they would tell the story and they would ensure that Keneged Arba Banim Divrei Torah, whether their son was a Chacham or a Tam or a Rasha or Sheino Yodei Lishol, to figure out a way of keeping them in the Masorah, you know, despite the great cost that came along with, is something that it's humbling to be part of that tradition. It's to me, you know, the greatest honor a person can have is to be part of that tradition, of those Avo Subanim, you know, going back, of course, you know, to the sands of Egypt. And that's really where I wanted to conclude. There's an Agada that I really love, I've really always loved, but I think it's, you know, I think it's uniquely meaningful. So it's in the Gemara in Brachos. I'll just put it on the screen for a second and come back here. That records a conversation, you know, between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Sneh. The words, Ehayeh Asher Ehayeh. And you know, the double language, just like we had B'damaya Chayi, is like a very, you know, striking, you know, thing. So what's this Eya Asher Eya? So Chazal conjure up this discussion. Moshe is at the very beginning of the road here, right? He hasn't yet had his arm twisted fully into leadership of Klal Yisrael, and he's still, like, you know, negotiating and posturing. V'amruli ma'ashemo ma'omar alehem. You know, I'm not going to have anything to say to them. I don't really understand what I'm doing here. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ehaya asher ehaya. That's, you know, my identity. But Kosomar l'bnei Yisrael, ehaya, only one, shlachani aleichem. So the Gemara says, well, how did he go from ehaya twice to ehaya once? So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe aleichem mor lehem liYisrael, ani hayisi imachem b'shibud zeh, ani ehaya imachem b'shibud malchios. You know what I want you to tell Klal Yisrael, is tell my children that just like I'm with you right now, right? The hasne bo'er ba'esh, hasne inenu ukal, imo anochi v'tzara, I suffer with you. I'm going to suffer with you in every future generation. So Amar Lefanav, so Moshe said, you know, from a marketing standpoint, Ribono Sholam, daya l'tzara b'shaita, right? Maybe this isn't the thing to tell them right now, that after the Mitzrayim there will be the Babylonians, and then the you know, the Parsim, then the Yevanim, and then Edom, you know, v'chulei v'chulei. Maybe let's not bring that up right now, okay? That's going to have to wait for the second date, okay? So, fair enough, but it was absolutely true. So, yeah, so, you know, Ehayeh shlachani aleichem, all right, so Ehayeh malchem b'shibudzeh, but really, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it wasn't a fundamental machlokes between HaKadosh Baruch and Moshe, it was a tactical machlokes. You know, what's a good idea to say right now? So Kadosh Baruch Hu was Moda, you know, okay, we'll only reference the Shibud Mitzrayim, but the whole point is, Ani ha'yisi imachem b'shibud zeh, Ani ye'ei imachem b'shibud malchus. To me, what that means is the following. If we really are mekayim the mitzvah, kiroi, and le'el chamisha asar b'nisan, chayiv adam liros asatzmo ki'ilu hu yatzam b'mitzrayim, and we really experience what it means for the first Jews to be taken out of Egypt, so then we'll know, Ehaya Asher Eya, that he's with us even in this moment, and especially in this moment, and that he will, as he extracted us from the Kor HaBarzel, from Mitzrayim, and he extracted us, not, again, without great loss and great suffering, B'damaya Chayi, V'aya Hadam Lachem La'os, there will always be you know, much more dam than we would have wanted, but he will deliver us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyadam, it's already baked into the first Yeshua Ehaya Asher Ehaya. And for us, you know, seeing, you know, ourselves, and hopefully Bekarov, the defeat of Hamas, and their sympathizers and their apologists, you know, who, you know, again, you know, surround us, you know, and really, you know, who would have ever thought, you know, that, you know, it would become acceptable, it would be compared to the civil rights movement, you know, people protesting Zaka, you know, we have the temerity to send our relatives to pick up the pieces of the bodies of our fallen brothers and sisters, you know, that itself, you know, makes us deserving of a protest, and a noble protest at that, no different than, you know, the integration of the lunch counters, as we've heard now multiple times, you know, in recent council meetings, for those who follow what's going on here in Teaneck. There's no different than the great traditions of civil disobedience actually coming from the Torah, as I noted before. You know, the ironies are extraordinary. Who would have thought that, you know, it would be possible? But Ehaya Asher Ehaya, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, and we have to, you know, draw great, great strength from that, and great strength from Jewish history, from the fact that our avos subanim throughout the generations, no less than the imahos and the banos, I have to say, the Nashim Tzidkaniyos themselves, and all those that followed them, Ad Hayom Hazeh, Ad Vad Bichlal, that really made the active choice to be part of this Masorah, never to abandon it, even under the most dire conditions. Bedamaya Chayi, who even in death, you know, was the elixir of life. It was the Mayim Chayim that, you know, continued to allow the Jewish people to live. So we should be Zocha, Aya Asher Aya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is with us in Shibud Mitzrayim, should continue to be with us in this Shibud, in the Shibud Hamas, you know, Udi Imam, and, you know, those that, you know, have made the dam so cheap again. And, you know, we should never apologize. We should never feel any sense of insecurity, any sense of inferiority. We should be fearless, always peaceful, but fearless and joyous, you know, within our tradition. But we look forward, Karev Yom. We very much look forward to the day, V'ishru Eschem Kol Hagoyim, when, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu will reveal Himself. Hine Anochi Shaleach Lachem Es Eliyahu HaNavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Hanora. For us, it will be Gadol. It will be a great day. It will be exalting day. For them, it will be Nora. It will be a day of reckoning. It will be a day of experiencing, you know, the wrath of Shvoch HaMaschal HaGayim Asher Lo Yida'ucha. We should be Zocha to see it in this Nisan, B'Nisan Nigalu, B'Nisan Asidin, Migoyal.